And welcome once again to Brookside Baptist Church, located in Muswellbrook, New South Wales. It's great that you've been able to join with us today as we seek to understand God better. As we said last week, our current sermon series is on the church. Our goal is really to wrestle with and understand the role of the church and the purpose that the church needs to play, and most especially in our world today. We'll be looking at it as part of the Christian faith life. My hope is over the next few weeks that you would have, that we would have a better understanding of what the church is supposed to do and be, and what our role within the church is supposed to look like. Today, we are looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts, what did I say? Luke, wow. I just read the passage as well. Should pay attention. Luke 42 to 47. No, Acts. Oh, I'm all over the shop today. Anyway, let's move on. Last week, we were talking about how Jesus only mentioned that Greek term, ecclesia, twice. That term that we use to refer to the church. And I had this great conversation afterwards about it. I was reminded that Jesus was drawn into his faith community. We often saw pictures of Jesus around the temple. Not only that, Jesus was drawn into community groups, right? He was drawn into having his group of friends that became his community, those disciples. Those who followed him around became a community. Jesus was often found in community. As this conversation was going, that picture of Luke chapter 2, this is where I was getting mixed up, you see. Luke chapter 2, this picture where Jesus gets left behind at the temple. You know the story, right? Mary and Joseph just start going home, and Joseph turns to Mary. I don't know if this is how it works. Hey, have you seen Jesus? And Mary's like, no, have you? I thought he was with you. Thought he was with you. And suddenly they realized that Jesus wasn't in that large group of people that were heading back to their home from Jerusalem. So like any good parent, Mary and Joseph ran back to Jerusalem and looked for this 12-year-old Jesus. And where did they find him? Well, they found him in the temple. About his father's business, he said. The temple is an important part of the Jewish life. I wonder if sometimes we overlook how much Jesus was at the temple. Granted, we focus on the bit where Jesus was, but we don't pay attention to why he was going to the temple. I think we focus, and rightly so, on Jesus meeting people where they were at. But this got me thinking about the importance of community. Often when I think about community, and most especially the church, I'm drawn back to this passage in Acts chapter 2. For me, it gives a glimpse of how the early church functioned. And while the world is remarkably different to the one we find ourselves in today, I think those early church stories, there are values that we need to reflect. I loved how one commentator put down his thoughts on the Acts chapter 2 passage. He says this: we don't get the sense that there were worship wars. Nobody's complaining about the songs being sung. Nobody's saying they were too loud, too contemporary, too traditional, or whatever. I don't think they were overly concerned what anyone wore to worship or to someone else's home. They were simply thrilled that you were a believer, that you were on their side, that you were a brother or sister in Christ. They were struck with awe at the miracles that were being performed. And this is a picture of community that were together, not just in worship, not just on a Sunday morning, but they were fully together. They were together in their beliefs. They were together in their possessions. I mean, could you imagine living in a community where if any of us had a need, someone would sell something and just simply hand over the money? They were concerned with what they could give, not what they could keep or get. And this early church, one of the things that I love about it was they were filled with joy and gladness. And there wasn't shortage for anyone. And they worshipped and they prayed and they served God. And this community was so different, was so radical, that others saw it and said, I want to be a part of it. And they started to believe in Jesus. And it was all through the love and grace of a community. My clicker stopped working. All right, let's go next slide. The early church sounds like the place to be, right? A picture of community, a picture of community that cared for one another, that prayed for one another. As I said, I'm often drawn to these verses. I think it's something that we as a church are supposed to look like even today. Why we find the word for church used often in the New Testament, sometimes it can feel like it's a little bit hard to define. Some suggest that church isn't an easy idea to grasp. The church is a mystery. It can feel that way at times, right? Because it's only via the help of the Holy Spirit that we can really understand what it is. But God wants us to get that picture. He wants us to understand and believe in the value of church. He wants us to believe in what the church is called to be. The problem is that we often have false pictures of what a church should look like. Commentators talked about four distorted images of the church. And I wanted to go over them with you. And the first is this. Some say that the church is like a petrol station. You know what I mean. For some people, church is a place where you go and you get filled up your spiritual gas tank and you can simply keep going until it feels like it's running low. In other words, you get a good sermon, keeps you going for a little while until next week. Don't overtax your engine, because you know what? There's no time. There's no time for a midweek trip to church. There's no time for a midweek trip to the petrol station. The church, it can be viewed like a petrol station. It is, I walk in, I get filled up, and I walk out. The second is like a movie theater. For many people, the church is a place that offers entertainment. It's a place where you go for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, or if you've got a really long sermon that week, 3 hours. Joke on, you need to laugh. Otherwise, the people at home don't know you need to laugh. It's a place you go and you escape the world for a while. Hopefully, if you're going, it's in comfortable seats, right? You want comfortable seats in a movie theater. It's a place where you can drink a coffee, have a snack. As you walk in, you leave your problems at the door. And as you go out, you come out smiling, feeling better than when you went in. Church can be viewed like a movie theater. It's all about the entertainment. The third view, I call the pharmacy view. It's a place where some people look at the church as a place where you get your prescription filled, the one that deals with your spiritual pain,
The idea here is that the church is therapeutic, right? That it is a place where you bring your hurts and your sufferings and it brings healing. And that's the only reason you go to church. And if you don't feel better at the end, then you need to go find a different pharmacy. The last picture that commentators talked about was seeing church as a big box retailer. This is the place where a church is seen as one that can offer you the best products available. Is it clean? Is it a safe environment for you and your family? Does the church offer great service at a low, low price? Do they offer you a 10% money-back guarantee if you find a liked item of the same price? Actually, the commentators talked about how in the big box church, you get to determine the price. The big box church is this picture of it. It's the all-in-one stop. And it's about the church producing programs for children and teens and taking the parents' responsibility to teach their children how to be believers in Christ and places it in a program. And the problem is that you don't find any of these pictures of church in the Bible. They're all of our modern distortions. But they all have one thing in common. They're all about me, self. They're all about give me, fill me up, entertain me, take away my pain, give me programs. These pictures of church are all about consumerism. Now, don't be surprised. This is the mindset of the world that we live in. It's the current mindset of society. Give me, give me, give me. I want, I want, I want. But the passage that we found in Acts moves us away from this simple, self-centered way of thinking about church. A way that primarily talks about getting my needs filled above all others. Instead, the picture on Acts focuses purely on people's relationship with God. So what we as a church need to constantly do is we constantly got to move from this mindset of it's all about me and we got to focus it all on Him. Francis Chang, a popular pastor and writer, recounts a story once. That a person came up to him after the service and said, "I didn't like that service very much. There was nothing that reached me." To which Francis replied, "That's okay. We weren't worshiping you." You see, we need to understand the point of church is God. It's Christ as the head of the church. And what we need to understand with that is then that we are the body. In Ephesians, Paul writes this: "Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe." That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. See, Paul wants us to know that as a church, we are meant to be an expression of the hope of Jesus Christ. And that expression needs to burn brightly and illuminate not only our heart and soul, but the things around us. It's part of our inheritance. It's what God wants to give us. Instead, what do we do with this inheritance? Well, we take it and we turn it and we make it all about us. It needs to be my music that I fell in love with. It needs to be my style of worship. The sermon's got to have three easy to remember points. It's got to be like this. There's this parable told about a lady who went to her pastor and said, "Hey, look, pastor, I'm not going to be going to your church anymore." And the pastor replied, "But why?" The lady said, "I saw some people gossiping about another person. That man, I know he's a hypocrite. The worship team are living wrong. You know what? There are even people looking at their phones during the service. The guy next to me fell asleep. There's so many things wrong with the church." The pastor replied, Okay, look, I understand. But before you go, can you do me a favor? Can you take a full glass of water? And I want you to walk around the church three times without spilling a drop on the ground. Afterwards, leave the church if you desire." The lady thought, "Look, this is too easy." She filled up a glass and she walked around the church as the pastor had asked. When she finished, she told the pastor she was ready to leave. But before she did, the pastor said, "Can I ask you some questions? As you were walking around the room, did you see any hypocrites?" The lady replied, "No." "Was anyone looking at their phones?" The lady replied, "No." "Did you see anyone gossiping?" She said, "No." He replies, "Do you know why?" And the lady replied, "No." So you were focused on the glass as to make sure that you didn't stumble and spill any water. And because you were focused on the glass, you didn't notice all the other little problems. And it's the same with our life. See, when we take the picture of Christ and replace ourselves and make it about us, we take our eyes off the glass. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, like we do with the glass, you know what? We don't have time to see others' mistakes because we want to keep as much of God as we can. We'll reach out a helping hand to them, but we're concentrating on making sure that our relationship with the Lord is good and healthy. See, the church is meant to be this picture, this community of people together, and everyone is seeking to put their relationship with God first, primarily, only. That's all we want. And what that then results in is people realizing that we help each other on this journey. That's the work of Christ, to help others in their relationship with God. One commentator said that, look, there can be no lone rangers and there can't be naysayers and pew sitters. See, the church is all of us. All of us opening our eyes to what Christ is calling us to do, to go into the world and to make a difference, to lead others to know Him and call Him Savior, and to have their lives and our lives transformed. And this happens when we become more and more Christ-like. And we become more and more Christ-like when we take ourselves off and put others first. So the church, therefore, is a place where we're meant to serve each other. Not to earn favor, not to show how great we are, but to simply show grace to each other, the way God has shown grace towards us. I love that picture of the first church, that picture in Acts, where we get to see how the early church lived and treated each other. And then Paul writes his reflection and he explains that the reason that this happens is because Christ is the head of the church. We are his body and we need to reflect him. You might think it sounds limiting. I'd rather do my own thing for Christ. Maybe you would rather do your own thing. But the question is that what Christ wants you to do? Some say, I don't want to get tied up with church. I don't want to overcommit. And I get that. But again, I ask, what is it that Christ wants you, wants us to do for each other? You see, Jesus, the head of the church, chose us, chose the church to bring redemption to the world. Now it's our job to step up, to be involved in the most powerful institution there is in the world. And it's not Kirribilli House, it's not the Lodge, it's not even the White House. It's not Parliament House, it's not your house. The most powerful institution in the world is the house of God. Here's the point. Here's the TLDR, the too long didn't read. The early picture of the church was a group of people who were dedicated to God. They were dedicated into understanding him better, to understanding him fully. And they showed their dedication by serving one another. They did it through prayer and through fellowship. And that's what we as a church still need to seek to do, to understand God better and more fully, to dedicate ourselves to understanding him, and showing our dedication by serving one another through prayer and fellowship. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we want to thank you. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son. Lord, that reconciliation back to you. Lord, we thank you that he is the head of the church. And Lord, we pray that we might be a body that lives up to that head. Lord, help us. Help us to dedicate our lives to understanding you better. And help us to be people who serve one another. Lord, through prayer, through fellowship, and through service. Father, we thank you for your church, and we pray that it would continue to do your mighty work in the world that we find ourselves in. Amen. Well, bless you guys. I hope you have a great week. Until next time, we'll see you. All right.